Good morning to each of y'all. Greet you in Christ's name. We got another lovely blue sky day out there. It's encouraging. And it's good to be here with all of y'all. Good to see most of the people back, and yeah, it's just good to see familiar faces again. If I had a theme verse today, it would be 1 Peter 4:10. We'll just start by reading that verse, and I'm going to refer back to it several times as we go through this message this morning. But 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." So the title I put on my page is Using Our Talents to Be God's Hands and Feet. And I should have maybe put on there Happily Using Our Talents to Be God's Hands and Feet. So what do you think of when you think about being the hands and feet of God this morning? And that title could almost allude to the fact that God doesn't have hands and feet. That's not true. God has hands and feet. The point of it is, God, for some reason, in his all-knowing power, decided to make you and me his hands and feet on earth this morning. And what are you and I doing with our natural talents and abilities to help build God's kingdom on earth? That's what I want to focus on this morning. Do you remember, probably you do, at least if you're my age or older, back in the 90s, there was a little bit of a robot craze. I don't know how much of one, but I remember reading an article as probably a 12-year-old boy about robots. I think it was out of the Reader's Digest, and how robots, they're going to solve all our problems, and they're going to wash our dishes. I remember that was what the article was about. And as a boy growing up, washing dishes was very much on my least favorite list of things to do. So I thought this was amazing. And growing up on a chicken farm, I thought if they could just make it walk the chicken floors and pick up all the dead chickens, that would even be a notch better. And you know, as a 12-year-old boy, you can just dream of, somebody's going to invent this robot that's going to solve all my problems and make me not have to work anymore. And nowadays, people are worried robots are going to take over and destroy all of us. I'm not too worried about that. But turns out a lot of their predictions about robots were wrong. But I was thinking about robots and studying for this message, and I was thinking, so suppose this is not anything I'm going to do, but let's just imagine for a little bit that I had some aluminum scraps and some screws and bolts and things, and maybe I could get somebody with some real computer skills, like maybe Dan. Suppose me and Dan got together in the garage on a rainy day, and we spent some time together, and we actually designed this robot, and we put all the pieces together, and since washing dishes is an age-old thing, gripe of mine, we're gonna make so it washes the dishes. And suppose we get it all wired up, and we get it all ready to turn on, and me and Dan are going to watch this thing go stomping over to the sink and clean up the kitchen. Wouldn't that be great? And what if we did? What if we plugged it in? And what if it went storming out to the garage and grabbed a shovel and went out in the front yard and started digging a massive hole? You think me and Dan would be very happy? Probably not. We'd probably be running after it, trying to unplug it or take the batteries out before it destroys everything. And we'd probably look at it and say, you have movement, you have capabilities of doing things. You can walk, you can, but you're not using your talent right. You're wrecking it. And how often has God looked down from heaven at me and said the same thing about me? He looked down at me and he goes, Jason, I gave you the ability and the talent to do this thing, and you're using it for your own selfish desires over here, or you're wrecking it, you're not using it right. How often does God look at me like that? He's given me knowledge, education, some natural abilities, some learned talents, and he needs me and he needs you to be his hands and feet on earth. And how often am I that selfish robot that just wants to go do whatever I want to? And obviously I know humans, we were designed able to make decisions. We're not pre-programmed as such. God gives us the right to choose to do wrong if we want to. It's not what he intended us to do, but he gives us that right. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 20, verse 28. He says, even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. So if Jesus' goal, I read that verse and I thought, if Jesus' goal was to come and minister unto people, how much more should that be me and your goal? How much more should that be me and your goal? And that word minister literally just means to attend or to wait upon, to host, to be a friend. How much more should that be me and your desire if that was Jesus' goal? And there's times that we are asked to do things that are not in our comfort zone. We all are asked to do things that are out of our comfort zone sometimes. That's all right. That's all right. I know there was, yeah. We were asked to cook at a wedding one time, and y'all know cooking is probably not, you can probably look at me and tell I'm not a very good cook. But you know what? Somebody still had to go stir the potatoes and carry the roasters around. There's still little things you can do, even if you don't think you have the gifts, the natural gifts or the talents to do it. One thing I do know is that God did not create you and me with absolutely no skills or talents and put us down here on the earth just for the fun of watching us struggle. He didn't. We were all created for a purpose. I know that for a fact, and I'll read you 1 Peter 4:10 again to believe it. If you don't believe me, it says, as every man hath received the gift, so minister one to another. We all have our gifts, even if we don't think we do. And I'm very grateful to God this morning that it's not all the exact same gift, because I need y'all's talents to help me in my life just the same as y'all need my talents and anybody else's talents. I'll tell y'all a story about me and my brother. I don't think he's here this morning. That might be good. No, it's not a bad story. But we were probably 10 years old or so, and we were out in the yard shooting our bow and arrow. It was a toy bow and arrow. And me and him with bows and arrows were not always very safe back in the day. I'll tell y'all boys, and you boys that have bows, don't go out in the yard and shoot your arrow straight up into the air. It's not a good idea. I don't know why we were out there. This wasn't even the story I was going to say. Anyway, we were out there shooting bows one day, and he launched an arrow straight up into the air, and it he kept his eye on it, and I lost sight of it. And I started running around like a scared bunny rabbit, because I was a scared bunny rabbit. And Sean kept saying, "Don't stand there, don't stand there," which made me run faster and faster in circles. And wouldn't you know, it came, I don't know why I didn't run, just hang on to him. I should have, because he obviously could see it. And it came down right beside me. I'm lucky it didn't stick in the top of my head. I'd probably went straight back to kindergarten and had to learn my ABCs all over again. But, so I, anyway, don't shoot your bows and arrows straight up in the air. Anyway, one day we were out there shooting our bows. Like I said, I don't even know why I said that story. But here come Elizabeth. And those of y'all who lived here for a while remember Elizabeth, Sam and Ruth and Rhoda's sister. Here she come in her little Chevy Cavalier driving in the lane, and she's seen us out there shooting our bows. And she comes strolling over, and she said, "I want to shoot your bow." And well, me and Sean thought, well, this would be definitely entertaining to watch. Sure. I mean, here you go. And she took it, and she was trying to shoot it, and she held it backwards, and if she'd have shot it, it would have went right over her shoulder. And we being the rascals we were, we just really kind of thought that was funny. And we probably laughed more than we should have. And I think it kind of aggravated her. I don't blame her for being aggravated at us. Anyway, she looked at us and said, "Well, y'all can maybe shoot bows, but I bet y'all can't bake a cake." And I don't know why we had any confidence in our culinary skills, but we blurted out, "Yes, we can bake a cake." And she said, "Well, fine, you can come to my house and you can bake a cake in my house." And she gave us a certain day to come up after work, after she come home from work, and bake this cake at her house. Well, now we were stuck. So we, on the appointed day, we went down there to her house. She lived down there behind Summer's place by that pond. And we rolled in there, walked in there, however we got there, and she had all the ingredients laid out on the counter. She said, "Now you're going to bake this cake." So we went to work, and she sat there. Bless her heart, she sat there and she watched us. And all of a sudden, she stopped us. She said, "Don't do that. If you do that, you'll wreck it." And sure enough, we were measuring something wrong, or using baking powder instead of baking soda. I don't remember what it was. But she stopped us, and she helped us. We made it right, and we baked the cake. And if I remember right, we sat there, and we waited while it baked. And after it was done, we ate it. And it wasn't real good from what I remember. But she sat there, and she ate it with us anyway. Bless Elizabeth's heart. She was a dear old lady. She put up with a lot from me and Sean looking back. But I say that story, me and Sean thought we might have had a talent shooting a bow and arrow. Elizabeth maybe didn't. She obviously had talent baking a cake. We apparently didn't after baking that cake. But she taught us a good lesson that day, that we don't all have to be good at everything. Some people have different talents in different areas, and that's just all right. We don't have to belittle people for talents that they don't have in certain areas. That don't mean we don't ever have to try to learn new things or give up at every little thing. But we don't, thankfully, that's why we have each other. We don't all have to be good at everything. I can benefit from Elizabeth's cake baking talents, and I guess she can benefit from watching us shoot bow and arrow, if that's what it is. And thinking about talents, some people feel ashamed, or I've noticed already, people have felt ashamed of using their God-given talents to make their living or make their money for their occupation, make their income for their family. And I don't think they should be. If it's legal and if it's ethical, it's not a shame to use your God-given talents for your to provide for your family. We should be grateful we live in a time when we have opportunities to put our varied talents to work and make a wage with it. I'm reading a book right now of a time in the Depression, and there was many a man back in the Depression that were very talented, highly skilled men, but there was no work, and they were busy being gardeners, they were busy being painters, or whatever they could find their hand to do. We're not quite like that anymore right now today, and I'm grateful for that. So if what you're doing with your God-given talents is something you really enjoy doing and you can make a living doing with it right now, praise God. And it also turns out that if you hire somebody, I do not feel very put together up here this morning. As it turns out that if you hire somebody to come work on a project that you need done, if you're hiring an expert, he's going to come do a much better job than if I bumble through it myself. And I can prove that by telling you this little story. I had a sink that was causing me all kinds of grief the other week. And I couldn't get the thing to stop leaking. And I happened to be talking to a brother here after church one day, and I said, would you want to come fix this thing? And you know what? He came and he fixed it. You know what? It hasn't leaked since. And you know what? I was just very, very happy to pay that man money to come do it. That's an example of a man that used his God-given talents to repair something I couldn't do. I was happy to pay him to do it. Very happy to. Took the load off my mind. I didn't need to worry about it anymore. On the other side of that, if you have a talent and you can never give it away or never do anything for free with it, when you find somebody in need that can't afford your service, that's probably being selfish with your talent. If I can never be on the job and do anything for free for a customer, or if I'm there anyway and I can tell that there's something I could do to help this person that may not show up on my paycheck in any way or shape or form, but just out of a godly, kind-hearted gesture, if I can't do that ever, that's selfishness. I think that's selfishness. I need to be willing to just... We don't have to be paid everywhere we go if somebody can't afford it or it's a hardship for them. Let's read out of Ruth this morning. Ruth chapter 2. Boaz came to mind when I was studying this message. And I don't know just a whole lot about Boaz, but he seems like a generous man. He seems like a talented man that was kind-hearted and generous. We'll read the first 14 verses out of Ruth 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is a Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers, after the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from morning until now, and she tarried not a little in the house. And she tarried a little in the house. And then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessel and drink of them which the young men have drawn. And she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. And now, and how thou hast left thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread, dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and she reached her parched corn, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. So I get a picture here of a talented, kind-hearted, and it says wealthy man. And he was also one that feared and served the Lord. I like how he greeted his workers in verse 4. The Lord be with you. Just like he just walked up on them out there in the pasture or in the field there where they were working and said, The Lord be with you. And Boaz had heard about Ruth and everything she'd been through, obviously. He was talking to one of the servants there about her. He noticed her, he asked about her, and he actually listened. And he knew there was a need. And he knew he could offer a solution, and he was happy to do it for her. And now, if you read the story of Ruth, it's easy to think that Boaz was a single guy and he'd just taken a liking to a pretty young lady, and that's, you know, maybe that's all there was to it. But I think there was actually more to that. That's obviously part of the story. But I got a feeling Boaz treated his employees and the other people around him with the same type of generosity that he treated Ruth with. He seemed like a man that was just, he had talents. He was a businessman. He knew how to relate to people, and he was just happy to be a happy giver. He was happy to be God's hands and feet right there. Here's another question for you to think about. What if someone thinks you have a talent, or I have a talent that I'm pretty sure I don't have? Those are kind of scary thoughts over reorganization time, aren't they? And it can be true, it should be true, that we should be willing to try to do what the church asks us to do, even if we don't always think we're capable of it. Even if it's not maybe our dream church job position. If you were asked to do it, we should still try to do it to the best of our abilities. At the very least, it will help you gain appreciation for the people that have served in that capacity for many years, and maybe I didn't appreciate them the way I should have. But when I have to actually fill those shoes for a while, it makes me a little bit more appreciative of it. This is maybe not the time to say this right on the heels of that, but there are one thing to be careful for. There are some people that do actually legitimately struggle in some areas, and I'll pick on myself just a little bit. I'll tell y'all this, if y'all was to nominate me for song leader, I think I would try my best. I think I really would, but I have never led a song in church, and we would probably have some pretty pitiful Sunday morning singing for a while. Now, if y'all think I have a hidden talent there and you really want to put me in there and try me out sometime, I guess that's up to y'all. But some people really don't have natural talents, and natural music talents that's not my specialty. I don't even like to sing overly loud in church because I'm pretty sure I'm not on key and I don't really know how to fix it. And I know that's a shame, but that's just who I am. Now, if you nominated me and I felt you really thought I had a hidden talent and I could do that, maybe I'll try. I'll probably need some training, and I'll probably need you to show me what the notes mean and how to blow a pitch and all that. Probably with some training I could actually do it, I don't know. But some people don't have natural gifts, and I think we should be careful not to put people in positions where they don't have natural gifts just to watch them squirm and be uncomfortable. You know what I mean? And it's possible for at reorganization time, if somebody felt like getting together with their friends and putting somebody in for one thing just for the joy of watching that person struggle, that could happen. I'm not saying it has, but it could. And I don't think that's right. I don't think we should do that. I'm not sure where to go from here on some of the rest of this stuff. I did have to think of so we are God's hands and feet. God does use us as people to accomplish his goals. He also, what happens if we're too lazy or Jonah was what came to mind. Jonah obviously had talent, speaking talents, and God obviously wanted to use him in Nineveh. But when he decided to run, I'm sorry, guys, I about can't. I'm just not feeling overly well, to tell you the truth. I don't feel terrible, but I don't feel that good either. I think maybe we'll just close with that. Let's kneel for prayer.